So, good morning. How's everybody this morning? Yes, good, great. So, I'm very thankful for the Word of God and how He brings it to light during our services, especially when you're getting up here to preach because you have a message in place. And I've probably said this a bunch of different times, but it never ceases to amaze me how God confirms what you've been researching, what type of message that He's given to you to give to the body when He confirms it during the church service itself prior to it. John mentioned being distant, for those who were distant today, to draw close to Him. And my message is actually about not being alone, that you're not alone, that God is here, that you're not alone, that your family is here. And so I have just a little snippet that we can listen to.
We're sorry. You have reached the number.
You guys ever heard that?
Disconnected or is no longer in service.
Too many times, right?
You
think you've called the right number and
try your call again.
And then you wait and you're like, oh, maybe somebody will pick up now. No.
We're sorry.
No. No, it just keeps going. And it's just like annoying because you know maybe, oh, did I fat finger the number that I was supposed to dial? Or is it totally wrong? Then you hang up the phone and you can still hear it and it's like chiming in your ear. So I do a lot of troubleshooting for my job. I'm in networking, and so I have to make some calls to some outpatient clinics sometimes because they have things that are broken, things that aren't working. And the biggest annoyance to me is calling the number and hearing that. And I'm thinking, like, we know the number's right. Like, what's going on with that? And it could be their phone system's down. Who knows? But that's one of those noises that we just don't want to hear. So this morning, we're going to I'm going to actually read a lot of scripture this morning. We're going to talk about Jeremiah and see what Jeremiah went through in his life as a prophet. And then Adam and Eve. So this morning, let's go ahead and I'll have you guys turn to your Bibles. We'll go to Adam and Eve, which is Genesis 2. Okay? So talking about never being alone, have you ever been lost? Raise of hands. Everybody probably has been lost, right? Come on, get your hands up. Everybody. Don't be okay, thank you. So you've been lost. So we all know what that feeling of being lost is like. Your GPS has stopped working, so I have one of these Garmins. I use Google Maps on occasions if this thing, the battery died for some strange reason, but we've all been to places that we've never been before. We took our family to Little Buffalo yesterday. Never been up that way. We didn't have the Garmin. Totally lost because Perry County's just a lot of farms and roads. So, you ever had Google Maps recalculating, and you're like, I'm going the right direction, recalculating. I thought I was going the right direction. Have you ever wandered around a major metropolitan city with no sense of where the nearest bathroom was? That's my greatest fear. You gotta go, but you're in Manhattan, and, well, if you gotta go, they want you to pay. You know, if you're in a local McDonald's, you have to be a patron. Feeling lost can be scary. Feeling lost can cause discomfort and panic, especially needing to use the bathroom. Feeling lost can feel like a total disconnect from reality. Have you ever felt disconnected from God? Come on. We've all felt disconnected from God at one point or another. Have you ever been lost in a crowd of people and still felt disconnected, alone, and helpless? Okay, so you go to a party. Who's been to parties before? Been to a party? Birthday party? Okay. You've been to different parties. And you ever been to a party where you've never known anybody? A wedding? You walk into a wedding? I went to a conference where I work with people, but I don't know them on a personal basis. And so there's that discomfort when you walk into the room and you have that feeling of aloneness. But you want to stay connected to them and you maybe want to start a conversation, but you don't know how. And so you come, you see everybody, and you kind of sit down. And church isn't like that, right? Hopefully not. Not here. So you sit down and you're feeling like, okay. All right, I'm getting a sense of what's going on. I'm engaging in the atmosphere. But deep down, you still feel disconnected and you feel alone. And God's completely the opposite of that. And with the story of Adam and Eve, and I know you guys are still sitting at the story of Adam and Eve. It starts with a sense of loneliness. So God sees that Adam is by himself, right? So God and Adam are one. God makes Adam. God makes the animals. And so we're going to read a little bit and see if we can kind of engage with how Adam was feeling with that alone sensation, and how when he becomes disconnected from God and Eve becomes disconnected from God, there's a sense of shame. There's no longer that closeness. So what is loneliness? Okay, so here's the actual definition of loneliness. So we think of loneliness as I'm alone in a room and nobody's here, or I go to a party and nobody's talking to me and I feel a little bit of alone. Loneliness is a complex and usually unpleasant emotional response to isolation. Loneliness typically includes anxious feelings about a lack of connection or communication with others, both in the present and extending into the future. As such, loneliness can be felt even when surrounded by other people. The causes of loneliness are varied and include social, mental, emotional, or even physical factors. Loneliness is not the same as being alone. Loneliness is feeling alone no matter how many people are around you. It's the feeling of being disconnected, unplugged. So we heard that noise, unplugged. Left out, isolated. Loneliness is a disconnection from God. So in Genesis 2, go to verse 18. If you have your Bibles, if you have an app, somebody next to you does. So Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs. That does not sound pleasant. And then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united with his wife, and they become one flesh." Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. These are some of the notes I had. Adam was no longer an individual. He wasn't consumed with any kind of loneliness. Now, I don't know if he was actually lonely. You know, like, if you're hanging out with God, like, the God, like, in paradise, think of Hawaii. Anybody ever been to Hawaii? I'd love to go. I've never been. But you're in paradise, right? How can you be lonely in paradise? You're, you know, taking a trip to the beach. We're going to go to the beach a couple times. You know, for those who love the beach, those are some of the happiest moments that you can remember, going to the beach and being with your family, being with those who you love around you. So it's hard to assume that he was actually lonely, but God foresaw that Adam needed that helper, that Adam needed that connection with another being. So Adam was no longer lonely. God loved Adam and wanted him to have companionship. The bridegroom and the bride. You guys ever heard that term? Bridegroom and the bride? Much like Christ and the church. So there's three things about loneliness that I have. Loneliness is separation from God. God created us to live in fellowship with him. Would you agree to that? That's why we are mainly created, to worship him, to be one with him, to have relationship with him. But sin broke that relationship. As human beings, we're born with a capacity to know God. But we're also born with a knowledge of God and without a relationship with him. God loved his race so much that he sent his son to die for us. Now, I'm a father, and when I think of ever needing to give up one of my sons, you know, to do something in that capacity, that would really hurt. That would hurt. And the same feeling has to be with God, that he gave up his son that he loved, that he was spending time with, that was a part of him, so that we could then be in that same position with him, is extraordinary. God created us to have relationships with other people. When he first created Adam, he said, "It's not good for man to be alone." Building healthy, godly relationships is key to fighting disappointment. Building healthy relationships is key to fighting loneliness. Make it a priority to connect with others. Isn't that good? Make it a priority to connect with those around you, Christian or non-Christian. Separation from ourselves. Realize that you're loved. realize that you're a unique creation. Would you say you're a unique creation? There's only one of you, right? Unless you found your doppelganger somewhere in a different country, there's only one of you. You do not need to be controlled by emotion, but by the love of the Holy Spirit. Now, right after Eve was created, came the fall. Okay, we know the story of the fall. So the fall is chapter 3, and it goes starts with verse 3. And it's, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from the tree of the garden?'" So this is the setup. "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.'" "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. So already showing his face as a liar. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So he's setting them up to think that they're going to be on the same type of relationship, same type of level as God is. "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was there with her. He ate it. Then the both of them, of their eyes were open, and they realized they were naked. Now, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." So already they're feeling that shame of being disconnected with God because they decided to make that jump to disobedience. They decided to engage in sin, and so they're disconnected. But what's interesting, towards the end, right after that, God had said to Adam, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life." So already he's kind of laying out the punishment. You did this, and because of what you did, this is what's going to happen. "It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, 'The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.' So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed out on the east side of the garden a cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way of the tree of life. Sin has the power to divide and separate us from God. Wouldn't you agree? Adam was ashamed and felt alone once sin crept into his life. But once sin crept into his life, there was a way out of it, right? And that way out of it is Jesus, if you haven't heard. Jesus had a parable, and we've heard this before, but it's great to bring back into mind. And it's the parable about the lost sheep. So it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus." So Jesus was about to tell the story. "But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." The meaning is simple yet profound. Lost humans need loving, personal saviors. Jesus taught this lesson 3 times during his time there. God deeply loves and cares personally for us as individuals, wouldn't you say? We're valuable to him. And he will seek far and wide to bring us back home to him. Even when we've done something stupid and we've said something stupid, he always is bringing us back home. He always calls us to himself. "When the one who was lost returns, the good shepherd receives him back with joy and does not rejoice alone. The Father is desperate to show his love to you. He reaches out to us even when we seem far off, to walk with us, to keep us close. We are not alone. So this is a YouTube clip. I'm not going to show it because it's kind of emotional, and I don't want to go there. But there's a song, and I don't believe it's a Christian song, but it's about not being alone by Alan Walker, I believe. And there's this animation where this father and daughter are in a car, and they're driving, and the daughter drops, I think it's like a bear, and he kind of looks over at her with these fond eyes, you know, fatherly kind of look over like, okay, I'll help you out. He goes to grab the bear, and out of the corner of his eye, there's a pair of headlights that smash into the car, right? And the next image is the father, and he's on a ship, right? So not literally on a ship, but he's on a ship, and he's driving through the night, and the fog is coming around, and he sees his daughter on like a little life raft, and she's waving over to him, and the father's starting to get welled up in his face, and you can see the love on his face, like, I want my daughter close to me, I need to get her close to me. And so he throws out this line to her with the little bear, throws out this line, and she's reaching for it, and the next image is the father on the ground, and he's being resuscitated. And then it goes back to the child who's, you know, reaching out for her father, and so she grabs the teddy bear and he's pulling it in, and as he's being resuscitated, he's kind of losing grip on the rope because he's kind of coming back to the real our earthly life, whereas the daughter is clearly gone. And so he loses the rope and she starts to go off and he's panicking and you can see it in his face. And man, I was watching this at work. I don't know how I stumbled across it, but I'm in my cubicle, and like I'm starting to like get all teary, and I'm like, shoot, or put some glasses on or something. But so then you see the image of the girl, and she's clearly gone, and it's a sad moment. And then you see the father back in that image of him on the boat, and he's jumping into the water, and she's going down, and he's going through, and you can see the panic, and you can see just that love grasping, you know, just to have his daughter close to him again. And he gets to her, and they go up to the surface, and they come out onto a rock, and you kind of see like this heavenly image open up with the sky, and then you see back to real life in the accident. You see his hand on top of her hand, and they're together finally. But they're together in heaven, so totally different. But I didn't want to mess. Yes, I didn't want to mess with Pastor Steve this morning. So. Let's go to Jeremiah. How about that? Okay, all right, let's go to Jeremiah. So Jeremiah 1. So if you have your Bible, let's hit on Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a prophet, right? So Jeremiah was a prophet during a time when the children of Israel were definitely in peril, right? They were not following the Lord's commandments. There was just a lot of sin during his lifetime. And he was a man who was called. Let me pull him up here. And I'm going to read through chapter 1. I told you I was going to read quite a bit of scripture. And there's nothing wrong with that. He gave us the scripture for encouragement and for training. So the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anath in the territory of Benjamin, the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. And through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the fifth month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem were in exile. So the word of the Lord came to him. So he was a man who was timid, right? And he wasn't quite bold, and he wasn't quite sure what his place was going to be, but God is calling him, much like he calls us. The word of the Lord came to me saying, this is what Jeremiah is saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So right from the beginning, he's saying, right from the beginning, I knew who you were. You were not alone. I have a destiny and a calling for you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So he was not lost. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go everywhere I send you to say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. That's heavy. If you're put in that situation, that is very heavy. You're basically the man under God. You're the man who's gonna change a nation. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a pot that's boiling, I answered. It's tilting towards us from the north. The Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out to all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declared the Lord. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshiping what their hands have made. So it's kind of a doomed situation. You know, you're going into the land and God's telling you this is going to happen, that's going to happen. It's kind of alone feeling, isolated, like, okay, well, this isn't a happy message. You know, you're not going to go into a retreat or a conference and start spurting off all the horrible stuff that's going to happen. Nobody's going to stay and listen to that. Nobody. Nobody's going to stay in the church and listen to that. But it was necessary, and because he was called as the one to bring it, he had the boldness to bring it. And he wasn't alone. Get yourself ready, stand up, and say to them whatever I command you, it says. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah and its officials. Its priests and people of the land, they will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you, and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Isn't that good? I am with you, and I will rescue you. Now, many of us aren't going to be in that situation where we have to bring that kind of message. But nonetheless, I will rescue you, declares the Lord, and be with you. This is a really good quote I found out of Bible.org. And it says, as we read in Jeremiah 1 through 2, God called Jeremiah to be a prophet, a spokesman of God. He was given God's words to a nation of idolatrous, wicked people. His messages were to be warnings of impending disaster, a judgment upon rebellion against God and their worship of the pagan idols around them. We know Jeremiah was not courageous by nature. In fact, he was timid and insecure. But God promised to make him strong and able to stand alone against a whole nation. Now later, God actually told him not to marry, have sons, daughters. For this is what the Lord says, they will die of deadly diseases. They will not be mourned or buried, but be like refuse on the ground. Do not enter a house where there's a funeral meal. So he gave him a huge set of strict instruction as his prophet. But he was to lead a life of individuality in the fact that he was going to be by himself. It was going to be him and God together. There wasn't going to be any other distractions in his life. Jeremiah 5:18 says, yet in those days, declares the Lord, I will not destroy you completely. So this is talking to the people of Israel. And when the people ask, why has the Lord our God done all this to us? You will tell them, Jeremiah, as you have forsaken me and served other gods in your own land, so now you will serve foreigners in a land not your own. The Father doesn't leave the people of Israel alone. His commitment and comments to Abraham and his descendants have continued. Loneliness will not be a factor, even though the Lord's unhappiness to the children of Israel. We're gonna do stupid things, say words that are hurtful, and struggle, but God will not leave us alone. He's continually developing us. So I have some interesting verses, and I want to share a quick story because it's. So I took a trip when I was, I think, 16, my first time flying, right? And I had never flown before, and, you know, you watch the movies, and you see, like, people flying all over the country and the world, and I was going to fly by myself, right? Parents had never wanted to really go anywhere other than driving, so we just never flew anywhere. And my youth pastor was getting married, and he was getting married in Seattle, Washington. And I'm all the way in New York, so, you know, that's pretty far of a distance. And I got lost. Okay, so I got on the plane by myself, and there I kind of felt alone a little bit. And then I got to O'Hare. Has anybody ever been to O'Hare in Chicago? Large airport, very easy to get lost. And I think I was more addicted to probably text messaging. No, I don't think there was text messaging at that point. I was probably calling. I know I had a girlfriend, so I'm sure I was calling her. So I'm pretty sure I was calling and not paying attention to the signs. And for like an hour and a half, I'm just roaming around trying to reach my connection because I was completely lost in that airport. Yeah, it's pretty big. But since then, it's been so much easier to find our direction when we read the signs, right? Read the signs. God lays it out before us. He has certain signs in our lives, certain signs and directions for us to go towards, that it just becomes second nature to read those, right? When people come into our lives and they have encouraging words for us, or they're giving us wisdom and direction. Now, I'm 32, so I'm still learning all this about those who are older than me have more wisdom than me. But that's the same kind of thing that, you know, I want to instill in my kids. Of course, right now they think that daddy doesn't do anything right and that sort of thing. I'm sure it changes not very much into teenagers, but it gets worse, yeah. I do remember how I treated my parents like that, but I totally remember that alone feeling of completely being lost, but it's so much easier when God has the directions for us and can lead and guide us, and a lot of that's found in His Word. And so here's a few different cool verses that I found that really go along with the theme of God's love and overcoming the loneliness by making that connection with Him. So whether you turn to the right or to the left, and this is Isaiah 30:21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." 1 Corinthians 2:5-9 says, "So that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It is not wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God." This popular one in Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You are loved more than you will ever know by someone who died to know you." It's in Romans. "Whenever you feel unloved," this is in Ephesians, "unimportant or insecure, remember to whom you belong." So God's love is real. God's love is overwhelming. We felt God's love this morning here. And as we've prayed, as we've worshiped Him, we've drawn closer to Him and drawing the Holy Spirit to ourselves. A really great example that I found, and I want to share it up here, is of the marathon runner who his son was a paraplegic, and he wanted to run the marathon, and his son wanted to see him do it, but he wanted to do it with his son and do it together, because it's a relationship thing, a father and son relationship. So just kind of watch it and think about how God feels about you this morning and how much He loves you. Well, that's such an encouraging example of how the Father feels about us and wants to engage with us in this life together. And even though we go through the emotions of life and feel that disconnect sometimes, we still have to realize that He's still calling us to Him, and He wants us to make that reconnection with Him. And so this morning, if you're here this morning and you just want that fresh touch, that fresh connection with Him, maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. I've been a Christian since I was about 12 years old, and I've gone through the ups and downs, you know, like I've gone through the disparity of feeling like He's not close to me at the moment to being completely on fire at a youth rally and you know, speaking in tongues and moving in that aspect. But I think if we really believe in what He tells us about ourselves, that we can stay committed to Him and stay connected. And when those changes come, it's just way easier. It's way easier. The changes come and we don't waver. We don't move. We stay connected with Him, believing and knowing who He is and who we are in Him. And it allows the Holy Spirit to move in our lives, in our situations. Becky and I are trying to sell our house right now, and I'll be honest, I've tried to make our realtor do stuff for the listing because it's just in my nature to push things along. even though I know that I need to give it up to God and that I know He loves me and I know it's in everything's in His timing, but I need to have that fresh connection with Him. And so I've tried to just give it up, not even think about it, and I've prayed about it, and I've just given it up to the Lord, like, okay, it's your timing. Whenever you want to move us on, we're going to go. And it's the same thing in our lives. It doesn't matter how old we are. We could be a teenager. We could be at the beginning of life, end of life. He still wants that connection, that wholehearted connection with us. And it's easy to sit back. It's really cool that Richie was here last week, and he was just talking about how some of us get very apathetic towards ministry, about outreaches. And I remember a time in Rochester, I went on one of his outreaches. So I was a freshman, and he was like a sophomore, junior. We only had 3 years, so whatever you want to call it, second year. And he was already leading these groups going up to Rochester to do this outreach. And I was kind of timid, like, grew up in a Christian home, you know, but didn't really know how to profess my faith out in speech. Like, I was probably a little bit more concerned with, like, how I look and how I sounded versus how I can bring the Word of God and share my heart with those who are on the streets. And I went out there, and honestly, I was really scared. Like, I was shaking, and I didn't know, like, I didn't want to smack people over the head with the Bible. I'm like, how do I say what I want to say? Like, I feel connected with you, Lord, but I don't know how I'm going to get this across. And not to mention, it's the city, and cities can be scary sometimes, especially inner Rochester that has a lot of murders and all that. But like, the fruit that we saw that day, one of the trips, he's gone on thousands. I mean, like, he's gone on thousands, but that one trip, like, I mean, we saw guys teared up, some of these homeless guys, like, crying because they were literally feeling God's love as we were praying for them. And it's just the coolest thing. And I do remember sitting back and wondering, like, why can't I feel that too? Like, I know I'm praying over people, but why am I not feeling the same sensation of having God's love, you know, surround me to the point of, like, an emotional response? But it's not always an emotional response, right? So, going back, I'm sorry, I'm going off, but if that's you this morning, let's pray together, because we want God's presence to be here. We want God's love, and we want the loneliness, any kind of loneliness or distance from Him, to be put out, because that's not of the Lord. Amen? So, Father, we just pray together as a family, Lord. And as a family, Lord, we know that none are excommunicated. None should be feeling alone or distant. That Your presence needs to be a daily impact on our lives. That Your presence would affect the way we communicate with others, Lord. That Your presence, Lord, would encourage us in the times that we spend with You, Lord, in Your Word, reading about You, reading about what happened, Father God, to the children of Israel, Lord, reading about what happened to Jeremiah as he brought the word that may have not been what they wanted to hear, but it was what they had to hear. And so, Father, just draw close to us. That's all we ask, God, mm-hmm. as sons mm-hmm. and daughters, that You would draw close to us, God, that any kind of loneliness, Lord, would just be put out, God, that we would feel Your presence so strong in our lives, that no matter the circumstances, no matter the situations, no matter what we're going through, God, we feel You close and we feel You near. Mm-hmm. We pray this in Jesus' name.